In the book of Genesis, we're studying out of the book of Genesis, the word meaning beginning. It's one of the books that the Jews accept. Now, in this book, it says in chapter 2, verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now I want you to ponder over that for just a minute. Thou shalt surely die. The Bible tells us that death is the enemy of God. And death did not come by God. The Bible said death came by man. Where did death get in by man? Right here. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." That's where man let death in. Death came by man. He gave place to it. You know, I say to you, look, you're going down that hill. Down at the bottom, the bridge is out. You're going to kill yourself for sure. Don't do that. Down the hill you go. You kill yourself for sure. So death came by you. See, so death came by man. Man was the one that made allowance for death. All right, now, look at it. The tree of good and evil. The tree of good and evil. Here God commands the man. And then all of a sudden he said, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Did the man do what God told him? He did, to the extent that he was not in the transgression. The reason he was not in the transgression is because he was not deceived. The Bible said the woman being in the transgression because she was deceived. The devil didn't deceive Adam. As I said earlier today, he only took of that which his wife brought to him. The devil didn't deceive him. But nevertheless, when God spoke of this thing, and he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Notice now he uses the terms. It says, God commanded him. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Commanded him. And when God asked of him, it was a commandment. God said, "Have you broken my commandment? Have you eaten of the tree wherein I commanded you not to eat of it?" So then the man followed the woman into the transgression, as it was with Jesus being made sin, that he might watch over the woman. Now think of this. A tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. I want to remind you again, Eve could not get anything out of that tree but what? She couldn't get it. Why is it she couldn't get anything but evil? Because she already had good. The thing is, when she did partake of the tree and she partook of evil, what was the evil? There wasn't any evil around. There wasn't any debauchery around. There wasn't any depraved ways of life around. What was the evil that she partook of? Satan himself was the evil. The very voice that spoke to her, contrary to God, was Lucifer. Satan had been exiled from heaven because of his evil doings of trying to exalt himself above the throne of God. And he was evil. He was the mind of evil, the spirit of evil, the life of evil. For a spirit is a mind, it's a sovereignty, it's a knowledge, it's a life. She partook of that perverted life, which was an evil life, an evil spirit, a knowledge of darkness. And that spirit went right into her heart. because of her unbelief. It went into her blood, as we say, into her spirit, into her mind. And when she went to Eve, went to converse with Adam, what did she do? She projected the same spirit of death into his blood veins, into his life. He partook of the same thing through listening to her, the perverted mind that she had got from the beast, or Lucifer through the beast. She projected it right into the hearing of Adam and down into his heart with the spirit of Lucifer, so far as taking control of them. They were not blamed with evil to the extent of death to their soul, because they knew nothing of evil. See, they knew that they shouldn't eat of that tree, that they would die, but they knew nothing of evil. They had never experienced evil. They never knew anything about evil. Therefore, it protected their soul. Their soul didn't die, because the Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, then that is a sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But they didn't know that. They didn't understand. They didn't know. As a matter of fact, Eve said, the beast deceived me. He said it was all right for us to eat of that tree. Being like little babies, never having experienced evil or sin, they didn't know. The beast said, didn't God say you could eat of the trees? So he deceived her. Now, I said this, what kind of tree was it? It was a tree that growed knowledge. A tree of knowledge of good and evil. So then Satan had a knowledge of what was right because he had been with God. But he was altogether evil. Altogether evil. And anything that he could talk about was as the ruler of darkness, because he had been rejected by God. So when Eve went to him, he went into her life, he went into her mind, he went into her heart, and then from her, through the weakness of that, he caused the man to break the commandment of God to the extent he went into his mind and went into his heart. So then you can see that it was a knowledge. What was the sin? What was the sin? It was a knowledge. Somebody said, oh, this was the sin, and that was the sin. And Eve, she lost the virtues, and that way she sinned against God. And no, that wasn't it. That didn't have nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. It's like a man that goes out and deceives a decent woman. He deceives her. Her sin is not the loss of her virtues. Her sin is the deception as to if she knew better and knew what evil was, and had experienced the cases with somebody before, and then she followed in the same way. See, the Bible said sin is in the world because of lust. How did it get into the world? Through the eyes. As Eve lusted, the Bible said the lust of the eyes, she lusted after the fruit. Oh, somebody said, oh, wait a minute, got in because of her depraved? No, it didn't. She lusted with her eyes. The Bible said she looked. And the Bible said the lust of the eyes, and she beheld the fruit, that it was good for food and a tree to be desired, a fruit to make one wise. That was where the lust got in. The very minute she did that, the Bible said you are enticed. So she was enticed. Then the Bible said you're drawn away. And then when you're drawn away, the Bible says once that you're enticed, once you're drawn away from your steadfastness in God, then is when lust comes in, your desire. And lust comes in, or your desire to have this that's forbidden. Then when this comes in, the Bible said lust, your desire, conceives. You conceive in your heart of that desire, or that lust. And then you can't rest until you get your hands on it. You understand what I'm saying? You can't rest. You'll do anything to get that new car, or to get that woman, or to get that man, or another man's wife, or another woman's husband. Or you'll do anything to get to that, because you desire. There is a conception within the heart, whether it be a divine conception in God, to the extent that Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you, as from the seed of God's divinity, or whether it be the seed of corruption as to the thought of Lucifer. Whereas in this case, it was the thoughts of Lucifer. A conception of lust, and then when lust comes, then sin follows. Unbelief in God's word. Sin, all unrighteousness is sin. Unbelief brings unrighteousness. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. The day that thou lustest after this Eve, you shall surely die. And so she lusted and she died. Sin and death is then in the world because of it. All right, now, when we look at it like this, she could get nothing but evil. A tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She had a knowledge of good, and this knowledge of good gave her faith in that the just shall live by faith, and she was in the presence of God because she was all good. Her knowledge was all good. There was no condemnation. There was no evil. So the illumination of God's presence in that he visited with them kept them alive. But when she took the knowledge of evil, it separated her from God. It was a middle wall of partition. It was the powers of darkness, and light came fellowship darkness. So Lucifer became, he came in between her and God, and the Shekinah glory of God's visitations and presence went away. He could not visit with them anymore, therefore they were not illuminated anymore. Not being covered with the covering of God as to the illumination of God, then what happened? They got ashamed because they saw their nakedness. Where did they see their nakedness? I say this again. They were not ashamed. The Bible said they were in the garden unclothed, and they were not ashamed. Why? Because there's nothing shameful about it. Nothing's shame. A man and a wife isn't ashamed. There is no such thing as being ashamed of something that God has instigated, because all things are pure to the pure. What is there to be ashamed of? How do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody goes by an orange tree, they see the oranges. Today they say, "Mine, them's luscious." Tomorrow they come by, they say, I'm ashamed to look at them. Say, well, why? Somebody peel one of them. That don't make no kind of sense at all, does it? How much less is a human body degraded? There ain't nothing degraded about what God made. God looked on it. God made it. How could it be impure? How could it be unclean? When God made it himself, every part of a man's body or a woman's body, God made it. And God is not evil. God didn't see anything evil. See, what it was, it wasn't the eyes in that they looked upon each other's nakedness. It was the eyes of their understanding. They looked, and that Shekinah glory of that innermost being, of that rest and that peace and purity and cleanliness and God's program and God's system. See, when you violate God's system, you get under condemnation. You get ashamed. Try it. The Word of God is a systematic way of life. Violate it and see if condemnation don't come. If you don't know, you don't understand, it won't come. But if it does, it brings condemnation and death. So then, they were ashamed. They were ashamed because the presence of his purity had lifted and they had become infiltrated in their minds. And the shame was the evil in their minds. That evil in their minds, those thoughts pointed out those bodies in those nude bodies. It pointed it out as to a great degraded way of thinking. It didn't point it out as to the mind of Christ, as to precious, clean, upright people that was going to multiply and millions of other precious bodies would be there. As Christ, it pointed out as something lustful, something degraded, stolen waters are sweet, something in the dark, something the drawback from that mind was eating them up. The filth, the degraded way of life. You know, I trust that in preaching these things concerning the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, that, you know, we don't get a bunch of devils like some of them over here in some places where they preached it. And some man, he sits down with another man and his wife, or he sits down with the woman. He says, now let me explain this to you about the seed of the serpent. Why, you devil, you couldn't explain nothing. There ain't nothing you can explain. And if the other person listens to you, that devil couldn't understand anything from the devil. Because they're both devils. You need to talk about things that are godly, things that are pure. And you need to have a segregated approach that when men are talking to women and women are talking to men as on individual basis, as one in one, they need to stay away from that kind of thing. That's filth. You're going to the filth. You know what you're doing. And that's exactly what happened to the first part of it. That's what happened under the law, and it brought corruption, sin and death, and the serpents got them. The serpents bit them and killed them. But over on the other side, the Lord Jesus resembled, he was held up as a type like the king snake. He swallowed up the poison of the others. So see, the shame was the mind. It was the thought. To the pure, all things are pure. All things are pure. To a pure mind, a man's wife is pure. To a pure mind, a husband is pure. And she's pure if she approaches anybody. See, this is the way I think. Somebody said, well, I don't know. You know, that man, he touched my wife. Bless God, I'll cut his head off. As far as I'm concerned, people touch my wife all the time. They bump, we get into the plane and they bump, which ought not to be. You know, we ought to have enough decency to have an aisle big enough. But they shove and they push and they bump at you and everybody else. You know, how on earth, he says, roll up your sleeve. And the women doctor said, yeah, you know. The man says, yes, it's got to be this way. Dirty, filthy, degraded. Somebody said, well, you know, what can you do? Live right, that's all. Stay away from the filth. See, but the thing is, I don't think, according to somebody that might accidentally bump into my wife, whether I tell her to stay out of the way. She's a decent woman, she will. And if I'm a decent man, I'll stay out of the way. But see, that's not it. The thing I'm interested in is my wife's heart, just like God is. If she can stay 10 feet away from a man, but if I pick up one thought in her mind that's not right, as far as I'm concerned, she's dirty and filthy, I want no part of her. See, this is the way God is. He wants a pure heart. I see many of you straining a gnat and swallow a camel. And I see this everywhere I travel. I see men and women, their spirits playing with one another, but because they don't touch one another, nobody's upset. It doesn't bother anybody. And I think, well, that woman's as dirty. She's dirty as an old filthy pot. Come on, folks. And that man sitting over there, he might have a necktie. He might be polished. And he might be talking so sweet and kind, but he's as filthy as an old dirty pot. See, thoughts. Your thoughts is what counts. The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You're not going to heaven if you don't think right. Charity don't think any evil. Somebody said, well, I just can't help it. Well, you need to get born again. If you get charity, you can help it. Charity does not think any evil. Not any evil. And if you're going in the translation, if you're going to make what we call the rapture, you're going to be like that. The bond of perfection, charity. And if you don't have that perfectness, which is charity, you don't have anything, though you might know mysteries, you might be a church person, you might pay your tithes, you might do this, you might give. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans. The thing is, if you don't have a clean heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, them thoughts down in his heart's got to be clean. You say, oh, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. Well, let's look at it for just a minute. Here's the Pharisees. Here's the scribes. Here's the great religious leaders all around Jesus in their long robes, wanting the salutations in the marketplace, wanting to be called of men reverent, rabbi, you know, wanting the salutations. Here they are in the marketplaces. And Jesus, he comes along. He doesn't pay any attention to their robe. He doesn't pay any attention to their office. He doesn't pay any attention to their greatness and the praise of the people. He looks at him and he says, the song said, how about your heart? Jesus said, what about your heart, priest? Says, out of that heart comes forth evil thoughts of adultery and fornication, murder, lying, theft, lasciviousness, an evil eye, pride, blasphemy. Said, all of these things come out of the heart. Said, this is what defiles a man. This is what defiles a man. Your long robes won't do it. See, your long dresses, lady, won't do it. That's sheep clothing, and if you're a sheep, you need to have wool on, you know. But the thing is, that won't do it. It's in your heart. It's the way that you think in your heart. If your thoughts aren't right in your heart, you are going to hell. You're going to be lost. You're defiled. The temple of God is defiled, whether it's the love of money, the love of whether it's pride, whether it's passion, or whether it's whatever it might be. When it's down there in the thoughts, that's what you are. So it was a tree of knowledge. A knowledge of good and of evil. And Eve already had a good knowledge. And Adam had a good knowledge. And with this clean, pure heart, God could come and illuminate the garden. And he did this until the day that he could get into their heart, to where he could seal them against any opportunity of Lucifer getting in. But God had to let it happen this way, folks. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a mistake on God's part. God made Adam and Eve out of the dust to begin with. They wasn't nothing but dust to start with. He had a program. He made them to reproduce, or he had never given them reproduction organs. All of that was planned. They didn't fall from way up in heaven. They never was way up in heaven to begin with. They were on the earth, and the presence of God was among them. He just come to visit with them. And in the garden there, his precious presence would illuminate them. And he fellowshiped them. And they were illuminated with his glory, like Moses was when Moses was on the mountain. Illuminated like Stephen's when they beheld his face as that of an angel. Like Jesus, Moses, Elijah appeared in glory. His glory illuminated them. See, and all he had to do was just to back away. And there they were, as the plan was, as the program was, as the way God made everything to begin with, that they were to be dust and they would start off as human beings, and they were to be processed as a 1, 2, 3 down through the years till God could bring them over to this great, wonderful, heavenly place, a paradise that he had exposed to them at the beginning so that they would have a light from the lighthouse, as we say. See, that's why Satan said, he knew some of these things. That's why he said, ye shall not surely die, but God doth know that in the day that thou eatest thereof, then ye shall become as gods, and your eyes shall be open. That was true, but it was the eyes of their understanding. It came open all right, but all they saw was the nakedness. All they saw was the shame. All they saw was fear. All they saw was death. And then they had become as God all right, to know good and evil. You say, did God know evil? God knew evil because Satan had become evil. And the Bible said the day that the Satan did the thing he did, iniquity was found in his heart, and that was evil, and God knew evil, and he put that evil away from him. And Satan was that evil that he knew of. So, you see, when we speak of this, I speak of it for this reason. Even after the flood now, there's so many wonderful things in Revelation that I'd like to get to here. It would just be so wonderful if I could just get to it. But there's no possible way I could do that. So I'm just going to go from one thing to another here to try to show you what I'm trying to say tonight. In the 9th chapter of the book of Genesis, and God blessed Noah and his son, and said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hands are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your life will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man, brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. Now I want to point out something here. Why is it? See, now God has done the same thing to them that he done to Adam and Eve. He's saying there's certain things that you can't eat thereof. But did you notice there is nothing of the water world as to the vegetation? That's why I told you that the tree that Adam and Eve eat of, God had not forbidden them to eat of the trees of the garden as to the vegetation of life. Because if he had, why didn't he command Noah not to? Why didn't he give him a warning of a tree? Saying, Adam and Eve, eat this now and they fail and don't you mess with it. See, because it was a tree of knowledge. It had nothing to do with that. I said that with the overshadowing of the Shekinah, they could see into the spiritual world. Now, listen at this now. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, this is after man went over the flood, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Now listen, folks. It said, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Cursed shall be the ground, he said. And of it ye shall eat all the days of your life. The thorns and the thistles will be brought forth. But he said, I will never do that again. I set my bow in the clouds. I've got a covenant. He said, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. I ask this question again. If he destroyed the serpent seed on the other side of the flood, why then are we having trouble with evil thoughts? Why is it on this side of the flood? Now then God looks at Noah and God looks at all the others, which is the seed of Adam, and here they are with continual evil imagination. That's why Paul said casting down imagination and the thoughts, the high things against the knowledge of God. And this is why that Jesus taught in his preaching. He didn't mess with man's deeds. He said out of your heart comes forth thought. Your thoughts are continually evil. I've come to correct that. I'm the one that's come to correct that. How are you going to do that, Lord? Well, I'm going to kill you. That'll take care of it. He didn't say that, did he? But what he did do, he went to Calvary and he killed every living person. Every living person. He killed every living person. That is to say, God smote every living person through Jesus. My, we could preach all night on the 1, 2, 3 of the water, blood, and spirit and the smiting. But he smote every living creature. He smote me. At Calvary, he smote me and bruised me until he was satisfied. And today, Christ is living. And that me that I speak of as the one of the past is no more. He's gone. And so then, he killed the beast part. He killed the flesh part. And the flesh part can never be heard by him again, seen by him again. It's gone. No more evil thoughts. I am now in his presence. No more evil thoughts. It doesn't matter how much I stumble, how much I stagger. Doesn't matter how much the devil harasses my mind. There'll never be an evil thought that ever come out of my mind or heart that God will ever see. Because there is none. He's taken them away. He destroyed that. It's not me. Like Pete said today. Pete said, I said, look, Lord, now I'm on the other part. I'm on your side. He said, I'm innocent. I said, Pete, that's exactly right. The proof of your innocency is that you go the way of God. It proves that you're not in harmony with them. You're not in agreement with them. You're not in agreement with people that crucified Christ and went the wrong way. You proved your innocency because you came to God and you wanted to go the right way. That's the proof of your innocency. That's the proof that you're not part of that system. So then we see that even after the flood, we say that the serpent seed is somebody else. The serpent seed is not Adam's seed. But I say again, God destroyed all of them on the other side of the flood. All of them. And Noah alone found grace in the sight of God. He destroyed all of them. And when he brought Jesus, saying, this is as the waters of Noah to me, he destroyed all of them. All of them. He took away the sins of the world. He destroyed all mankind. There were none left. I said with Noah, 8 people. The second deluge, when it got down to Sodom and Gomorrah, there was only 4. And when it got down to the crossing of the Jordan, there was only 2. And when it got down to Calvary, wasn't nobody left but 1. And the Bible said, and the promises as unto seeds of 1, not many, but as of Christ, as in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So all of them died. Everybody died. Everybody went away. And God said, I find only Noah. Or that is, I find only Jesus. But because of Noah, I'm going to let your family in. Because of Jesus, I'm going to let your family in, Jesus. Declare your posterity in the earth. That if they be bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, if they be children of God, the first brother among many brethren, then I will spare them. I will spare them. And I said this morning, on the other side of the flood, he destroyed all. He didn't destroy the wicked with the good. The good with the wicked. He didn't do that. They were all wicked. And even after the flood, he said, man's heart's continually evil. I see it. He could have said, I see it now. God always saw it. But I see it now. There ain't no need of me doing that. I've got to look for a way for man to get out of this thing because man's thoughts are evil. If I took stock of you tonight, every one of you, man and women alike, your thoughts would be evil. Continually evil. Always evil. Because the Bible said man's heart is continually evil from his youth up. So how did God get us around it? By killing the man. And the beast don't live anymore. He smote Jesus as the image of the beast. Some of you men can't even hardly bear to be around women. You're so taken with lust that you can't even hardly bear to be around them. I've seen you around them. And some of you women are burned in your passions and lust so much that you can't even hold your composure when you get around certain men. And thoughts are raving, renting. You would be literally shocked to the core of your heart if you had heard what some of the women folk have said that lived on this campground concerning men. And God took them away and swept them away, moved them away, and men the same way toward women. And the things that people have tried to do, God revealed it, going to them, telling them, and God swept them away, and they paid horrible prices for it. And some of you are going to be swept away the same way. See, so your thoughts are continually evil. So where is the serpent seed? It's everyone that is not a born-again Christian. Everyone that was not a predestinated son of God. Everyone that is not is the seed of the serpent. And that means that he is in the world today. And all of the world wondered after the beast, John said, which is the flesh. All of the world wondered after the serpent. And the man 666 will come on the scene as the mark that God gave Cain as the beast. He'll come on the scene and he'll gather them all together. He's been over here visiting. One of them been over here visiting in the last little bit, correlating, getting them all together. And all of the world wondered after him, the Bible said, except those who have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Elect, according to foreknowledge, is what he said. The Bible said, and the elect obtained unto it, and the rest were blinded. For Lucifer hath blinded your eyes with them thoughts of evil, them thoughts of shame, even the eyes of your thinking, which is your understanding. He's blinded them. He's blinded them with those thoughts of darkness. And you're not children of light. And the day will come upon you unaware. You eat, you drink, you go, you do the things of the world. The love of the world's in you. The love of prestige, the love of money, the love of power, the love of fame, all these things, it's in you. And you are lost. You're cut off from God. So, a lot of things I could have said tonight, but even from the beginning here, as I started to say it, I felt a real laxity and a lethargy and a tiredness. You wore yourself out. And I couldn't go very far here because though you're taking it, you're like you're half asleep. But you're still trying to be reverent and listen. But nevertheless, like in the vision, I saw you going like that, you know. And so I know that you're heavy with sleep. Jesus said, couldst thou not watch with me 1 hour, just 1 hour of preaching? Couldn't you at least give me that long? The 1 hour, but they were heavy with sleep. He said, sleep on. Just sleep on. When they awoke, they saw his glory. So then, remember that over the flood, I just want to drop in these few thoughts. Over the flood, The misdemeanors of life are still there. The evils of life are still there. The corruptions of life are still there. And even down to the day that Brother Pike lives in, it's still there. And the thoughts of men's heart today is still evil from his youth up. He's still evil, continually evil. And that's why God tells you and tells me to cast them thoughts down and get away from them thoughts. And don't let them reign in your heart, and don't give any place to them. And don't go after them, and don't listen to those things. Because God has secured you by the death of the body of Lord Jesus. That body of the beast is dead. And that part of corruption is dead. And that part of accusation is dead. And that part of unbelief. And that part of that old gullible eat, drink, passions and whatever. It's dead. And the Bible said they that belong to God have crucified the flesh with the lust and the affections thereof. So if you're going after those things, to be carnally minded is death. It proves you're the seed of the serpent. And if you're casting those things down, then you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, sealed off from those things. And if you don't give place to those things, then you don't give place to the devil. But what you're doing, you're crucifying yourself. You're crucifying the flesh. You're denying yourself of those gullible desires and of those worldly ways and those lustful thoughts. You're crucifying yourself. You're doing away with that side of life, so you're innocent. You're not guilty. Though Satan may accuse you with irregularity, you're still innocent. God has taken those things away. God has taken those things away by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But no one is heir to it. No one has a right to it. No one can have it except they that are born again. So your thoughts are continually evil unless you have charity that keeps you away from those things and won't let you fellowship those things, that when those things come, you have no fellowship with them at all. The Bible said children of light are to have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. All right. I know that you're all filled up from this morning, and I can feel the spirit of lethargy so strong. I think some has already slipped out and gone home. Some of them do that with a regularity. I don't know why they come to church to do that, but nevertheless, they do it. If I'd have more interest in that, I wouldn't come to church to start with. But let's stand together. You might say, well, I'm tired. Well, that's okay. If you want to go home, that's no problem to me. Somebody said, well, it's my babies. Well, me and Betty, we had about 8 children, and they slept on the floor, and they stayed right there, and we didn't slip out. We didn't use that for an excuse. They had a pallet down on the floor between the benches, and that's where they stayed. So that's no excuse. What it is, it's lethargy, it's unconcern, it's Satan, it's the carnal mind, that it's enmity with God, it's human reasoning that breaks the systematic way of Christ. As to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and to reverence the house of the Almighty God. All right, let's sing a little song. You know, I love to sing these songs. It's like a song I wrote one time. It's called Let Me Sing the Songs of Zion One More Time. Tonight I didn't feel no hunger hardly at all from you. I found a great respect from what you have been getting, and a great entreaty for which I'm very grateful. I appreciate it so much. It was from your heart. But nevertheless, I didn't find any hunger much tonight. Jesus said to hunger and thirst after righteousness. But what it is, you wore yourself out today in the natural, taking no time to pray or to get away with God or to be spiritually minded, eating and being filled up. And when you come tonight, you didn't have any room for heavenly things. But I just pressed on anyway. I knew this before I started. But I pressed on anyway because I wanted to try, if I could, I wanted to try to get across just a thought or two as to the other side of the flood, and let you know what I was saying this morning as to the other side of the flood, to let you know that the powers of evil crossed over. They're still here today. They're not gone. If Cain was the seed of the serpent, then why didn't that end it on the other side? Why didn't that do away with it? Why didn't that finish it up? The flood was for that purpose. God destroyed them all, but he found out the that didn't get rid of the devil. That it was an inbred and interwoven spiritual ugliness that come from Lucifer. Now, I don't want to be found trying to tell you that God was ignorant to the extent that he didn't know that to start with. How do you believe that God was so ignorant that it took him 2,000 years of killing everybody to find out his mistake and to discover that man's heart was continually evil? God's not ignorant, folks. If that's all God knows and it took him that long, we might as well forget about salvation because he can't help us. If it took him 2,000 years to find out his mistake and find out that the devil that he cast out of heaven was the troublemaker and that man was having problems from the devil, I ain't no need of me calling on him. He can't help me. Not at all. Not at all. But God knew what he was doing. It was a program and a plan of God to make man an equality of God, to bring him into everlasting life and eternal abode, and to make him as God himself, that he might be a walking, talking God, and that God would not fellowship a mere little old human being that hardly knew his ABCs, but that he could sit down and talk to a God, and a God could sit down and talk to him, and they could communicate God to God. And he could have the fellowship of the dignitaries of all eternity. People that know something. You know, I sit down and talk with God. How have you ever talked with God? Not as a mere man, but he sits and talks with me. I'm a son of God. I talk with my Heavenly Father. We sit and talk about the sweetest, most lovely things. And it just thrills my heart to hear what he's got to say. And it just thrills his heart to know that I'm thrilled about him. And we get the biggest thrills. What a wonderful thing it is. I say things that inspires him, and he says things that inspires me. And that's what he wanted. Paul said, if I make you sad, who's going to make me happy? All right, let's sing a little chorus and we'll let you go back. Paul, back to the natural things. All of you that are taken with those kind of things, go back to the natural mind. The devil, he'll get off your back, and then you can relax. And to you that love God, that are sons and daughters of God, that are looking for the things of God, that's hungering and thirsting, we'll let you go, that you might do like the cow. You've chomped on a lot of grass this morning, that you can chew the cud for a few days and get some rich ingredients that'll help to secure your life and make you healthy and strong. As a believer, someone to testify of the glory of God and to win souls. Okay, let's sing together. I don't want your gold or silver. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus, for to me he's my everything. Oh, I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus, for to me he's my everything. Sing it with me, folks. We don't want no gold or silver. We don't want your diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus, for to me he's everything. Sing it again. I don't want no gold or silver. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus, for to me he's everything. Today my wife and I had gone into a restaurant. Stopped there and we was talking to somebody about the Lord. He kind of got upset. He went to a Baptist church and looking for another place to go. And while we were there, somebody with her back to us come up to the salad bar, and there was a young woman with him. And I could tell pretty much who it was. And I didn't want him speaking to me, and I didn't want to speak to him. He had on plenty of rings, gold rings, and all kinds of things. But I thought, you know, you're here, and your wife is somewhere else. And you're with somebody else, and I don't want to make conversation with you. With his diamond ring, with his money, his prestige, whatever, I didn't even want to see him. Because I want to be holy. I want to communicate with people that are holy. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Eve had good manners. Let's sing that one more time. If you really don't want the gullible side of life and the things of the world, then sing this with me, can you? We don't want no gold or silver. We don't want your diamond rings. All we want is the love of Jesus for to me. One more time. I don't want your diamond rings. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. If you don't want the world and you don't want the gold and silver, you know God's going to give it all to you anyway, because he said all the gold and silver is mine, the cattle of a thousand hills. He's going to pave the streets out of gold, and he's going to hang the gates out of pearls and put the foundations out of beautiful jewels and make the walls out of jasper and give it to you anyway. It isn't that he don't want you to have it. He just don't want your heart to be on it. You can have all that you want, but he wants your heart. He don't want you to be carnally minded. Adam and Eve had it all. Didn't they have it all? Did you know they've discovered that the rivers that flow, like Pison, Hittical, Gihon, Euphrates, all the rivers that flow out of the garden, that along those rivers, some of those rivers, there's fine gold. See, so Adam and Eve had it all, every bit of it. God didn't care, but when they got carnally minded, the knowledge, that's where the problem comes in. Can you sing it with me one more time? I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond ring, for all I want is the love of Jesus for to me. So we don't want your gold or silver, and we don't want your diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's my everything. Somebody say praise the Lord. I believe you mean that. I believe you mean that. So we don't want gold and silver. We want Jesus. To get Jesus is to get everything. To go after everything is to lose Jesus and to lose everything. But if you follow Jesus, you can have everything. God will give you everything. He'll give you health. He'll give you blessings. He'll give you all that your heart can wish for. Like I told Brother Jerry Lambert one time, Jerry was freely given to God, and I said, Jerry, as long as you do this, the way that God has shown me your heart, you will never lack. Never, as long as you live. And if Jerry follows it, he won't. Never. See, and Jerry has never lacked. And even Jonathan, his son, came to me after a number of years, and he said, you know, I remember what you told my daddy. I was sitting there, and he was. He said, and it's worked exactly that way. Exactly that way. As long as you do what God tells you to do, as long as you walk that way, see, the blessing of the Lord can come. The Bible speaks of the minister. Whoever he blesses will be blessed. Blessed a number of people. Told them he's going to have riches, and they went in to hundreds of thousands of dollars. But they were not faithful. They were not faithful. Wasn't long before they got the mind on the source instead of on the giver. Loving the creature more than the creator. Loving the things of the world. Money and things more than the God that gave it to them. And they went down to death. God took them away. So you young ladies, you young men, you people that are just starting in life, take the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich. It don't add any sorrow. And the Bible said it'll give you long life. If you want long life, refrain your tongue from speaking evil. That is, speak no guile. He'll give you long life, and he'll bless you all along the trail of life with the desires of your heart. If you'll just do that, he'll do it. Doesn't matter, male, female. With God, there's no woman, man. With God, just whatever faith is, that's what you get. As your faith, so be it unto you. Let's sing another little chorus. We sang that song this morning. The stone is rolled away.
Gone, the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone. Over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and he lives forevermore. Oh, he's gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone. Oh, the death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and he lives forevermore. And I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. And I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels, can you sing it with me again? And will longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there. You know, if you're really longing for the Lord to come back and you're really looking forward to him coming back, the Bible says, don't be found without the wedding garment. Don't be found without the wedding garment. When the Lord Jesus comes, be ye ready. And he says concerning the coming of the Lord, be ye also ready.
For in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And in an hour when you don't look for Him, the Son of Man will come. So be ye also ready. Let's sing that again, can we? And I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be it morning, gonna be robed in spotless white, and I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white, I'll be ready when the bridegroom. Sing it again. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready.